Good evening, everyone. Welcome out to those who are here. Welcome out to our Wednesday night class. People watching at home, hello. Welcome, you guys. So we've got a pretty cool class for tonight, 101 Bible Skills. All right. So we're going to have a reading, which is 2 Timothy 3. So with that as an introduction, we'll have Russell come forward and speak to us on 101 Bible Skills.
Well, good evening, everyone here and wherever you are. Hopefully the presence of masks doesn't preclude discussion. This is one of three evenings we've got down on this topic. So sometimes when you might have heard of talks on Bible study, you end up spending all of your time working on one tool, a Strong's Concordance or something like that, as though here is the one thing I need to do and then it will all become easy. And I think if we have this image instead of what we're trying to build is a whole garden of different skills, then that's useful. So I want to talk about skills and not details. Often to the adult world. The world itself has changed quite a bit since then. A 20-year-old, someone turning 20 later this year, was not alive when the Twin Towers fell in 9/11. And for those of us who are slightly older, that doesn't feel like such a long time ago. It's also a question, to my mind, of identity. When you look at what we use to market ourselves, and these are just some clippings from website searches, one phrase keeps coming up and up about how we describe ourselves. So whether we're talking about the Brighton Ecclesia, or the Happy Valley Ecclesia, or Simi Hills in California, or Singapore, there's a similar phrase through all of these things that says Christadelphians are a community of Bible students. Now, we are, of course, many things. We are believers. We're followers of Christ. We're all those things. But what we choose to identify with for ourselves is the fact that we're a community of Bible students. And so, when you had the survey, here's the first of the results. We were almost unanimous in that that has been a core part of our identity. We were slightly less unanimous, but almost so, that that should continue to be a core part of our identity. And I guess that small difference there is perhaps people thinking, well, actually, no, there are other elements of who we are that maybe are more important. But by and large, we agree that that's been core to our sense of who we are. And yet when we ask the question, how well does that describe us as we are now? 1 in 4. Now, to me, that says we've got a problem. There's a second thing that comes up when we look at the way we market ourselves. The first thing is Houston and Heathmont Ecclesia and Christadelphia.org. The first thing they say is, yes, we're a community of Bible students. The second thing they say is that we have no central organization telling us what to do and believe. I'm reading from the Christadelphia.org one here. Neither are we some fringe group following a charismatic leader or some internal text. Rather, we are tied together everywhere by our zeal for reading God's holy scriptures and our understanding of his plan and purpose. Now, you'll see similar things in those other two. But you'll find that when you look at how Christadelphians market themselves, we say we're a community of Bible students. We have no central organisation. We have no paid ministry is often a thing. Now, I don't know that that's really a marketing feature of our community, but it's something that we feel is really important to say. So what if we're not a community of Bible students? The trouble is, at the human level, if we're not a community of Bible students, we've got no other backstop for who we are. If we are bound together by our zeal for reading the scriptures, if we're not enjoying reading the scriptures, we haven't got a central hierarchy to keep it running for us. If we all become disinterested in the Bible, then we'll either only hang on to things by means of tradition, and that will fail away as time changes. Or otherwise, we'll end up just following whoever's got the loudest voice at the time, whether they're paid or not. Or we'll drift back to standard Christian teachings, because that's where we're getting a lot of our reading material from. So, at least at a human level, we only get to have no hierarchy if we have an informed and active membership. That is, enough individuals that are capable of saying, I agree or I disagree, and here's why. So we might think, oh, it's okay if some people are students and others are not. But actually, it's critical to our community the way it is that we continue to be a community of Bible students. And so this challenge to increase the Bible skills of our younger generation is valuable to you if your concern is for our community that we're becoming another church. Then increase the Bible skills of our youth. If your concern for our community is that some individuals are becoming too influential, then increase the Bible skills of the whole. And if you just wish that we were more busy about preaching and doing things, or if you just want it so that when our meetings come together, they're more engaging and stimulating, and encourage Bible skills in every generation. We're not just Bible students, of course. And I recognise that as we talk about Bible study, perhaps we're coming from a time, maybe we're moving away from a time, where Bible study of a certain type, an identity of a Bible student with a certain sort of picture, has come to over-dominate our view of who we are. Maybe to the exclusion of some other really valuable parts of our identity and of our community. And maybe there is some attempt to sort of rebalance that, but we just need to make sure we don't overcorrect. And that we maybe we've come to a view of ourselves that's been over-student. But we've got to find a way forward that doesn't destroy our identity as a community of students. We've also perhaps tended to view biblical skills as something where a few of us go out to battle and the rest remain with the stuff. That it's important, it's more important for some than for others to develop skills in the Bible. But I think if we look at our present, and especially in terms of the responses that you've given in the survey, actually we're all on the front lines now. It used to be that most of us could sit in the audience while one person stood up the front and did battle for the community. And now the battle is taking place in everyone's palm of their hand. Our young are not protected by what's being said off the platform or what books are allowed in the ecclesial library. They're on the front lines. They need to be strong. We need to be strengthened by every part. And if we're to turn the tide from the rant to the positive, then recognising that Bible skills can now be exercised on new platforms, in new ways. There are new opportunities. And some of those new skills are found more in the young than they are found in the older generation. And if we could just once again become a community with Bible skills, a whole community with Bible skills. Sorry, I've been looking at mine, not this one. If we could just become a whole community with Bible skills, there are some tremendously good times ahead. Just want to reflect for a moment that we actually do very little direct teaching of the skills of biblical study. We mostly rely on the fact that we get to listen to case studies of other people's studies, but we don't often get into the how did those conclusions be reached. We've gone on an idea of passive absorption. If you listen to enough Bible classes, eventually you can give one yourself. And I think it would be good if we want to build a community of Bible with Bible skills, that we actually start to think more about, well, what are those skills that we are trying to build? Perhaps build them more directly. The Bible is many different things to different people. We don't think about it when we buy ourselves a new copy of the Bible, but it's probably the most ancient book that we come across. At times, people have given their lives and paid a fortune in order to have it in their hands. And now, 4 megabytes downloaded as a text file is probably smaller than many of the photos that you've taken. There are 5-year-olds who can recount its stories, and yet its interpretation is still being debated 2,000 years after it was finished. It's actually a tricky book to read. Imagine trying to start reading the Bible just from the beginning. And yet, it's a book with remarkable connections. It has inspired both good deeds in millions of people and has been used in the defense of the most dreadful of actions. Itself comes with no instruction manual. And it is the means that God has chosen to tell us about himself. The Bible has been static for 2,000 years. And yet, when we think about it as information and the way that we deal with information, things have hugely changed, especially in the last 20 years. So thinking about information more broadly, think how much more accessible most information is now. How easy it is to source. In terms of religious material, I think as a community, our breadth of sources has gone very wide in the last decade or so. Go back 20 years, and most of what you read came from the Christadelphian bookshelf. These days, the world of information is available to you. And what gets promoted on your searches depends on what you've clicked on before. We live in a world where information is always updating. And there is more than we can deal with. Do you know, in the old days of websites, you used to be able to reach the bottom. That is, there was a page with a certain amount of text, and at some stage you would finish it. Have you noticed that many sites now, and most apps, do not have a bottom anymore? You can continue to scroll, and more will keep coming up. And so we end up with information overload, because once you're on a site, it's only when you've had enough that you get the chance to stop. Many of you in your responses to the survey talked about the distractions, the constant notifications, the trap of social media. And in this world of great change in information, we think, well, how does our study of the biblical text interact with it? One thing that I think is interesting is what I call the invisibility factor. You used to know if Dad was in the study or what Mum was reading because they were holding a book or they were at a desk. These days, as our bookshelf disappears and comes pocket-sized, gradually the books disappear and the bookshelf may not be as big in the family homes of the next generation. And whereas you always knew when Mum or Dad was reading a particular book, now they're just flicking on an iPad. And I wonder whether it is that with children who all know what iPads are for, how much they realise that actually here's Dad reading something worthwhile, here's Mum communicating in a proper way, a valuable way. But it all looks the same, doesn't it? In Sherlock Holmes, Sherlock Holmes says that he could pick out the occupation of a man by examining the cuffs of his collars and the knees. And depending on the great different sort of deposits and things on there, he could pick out whether someone was a printer or whatever they did back then. Sorry, no offence to any printers today. But these days, you couldn't really do that, could you? That whether a person is an engineer or an electrician, there's not much to go on. And it's sort of the same with us, isn't it? Our books have disappeared, and it's all just a single device. And our kids are imagining that we're playing games, even if we're doing something worthwhile. So as information changes and our sources of information are widening, what we really need more than before is skills of attention and discernment and reflection. I'll say those three again because they're what we need in a world where there's so much information. We need attention. We need discernment to pick out the good from the bad. And as much as anything else, we need reflection. There will be a constant flow of new information. At some stage, we need to take the step back to say, and what have I decided about this subject? And right at the time when attention and discernment and reflection are needed most, it's the time when they are the hardest to achieve. And everybody talks about distraction and just clicking away and feeling overwhelmed because everything's all new and they haven't taken time to reflect. Now, some of the elders amongst us may be tempted to try and say, well, we just need to throw away the phones. We just need to disconnect the internet. We just need to wind back the clock. And I don't think it lies simply in trying to go back. But the older generation have got a perspective that the younger don't, of a time when some of these other things weren't around. They have valuable things to contribute, and it's their task to bring the best of the past forward into the present that we live in. There are some skills which are still really important and are non-instant. The great world of information has made some things really quickly. I'm sure Dr. Strong, would be really depressed if he was around today and can see that sort of his lifetime's work of producing a concordance can be replicated in a few seconds with the click of a button in however many languages you want, maybe two clicks of a button. Some things are much easier to obtain, but here are some things which are always going to be hard to attain without time and effort. It's so easy these days to flick through information, and yet we'll never reach familiarity with Scripture by that means. We need to find distraction-free time to spend in meditation and prayer and reflection. However, that distraction-free needs to be obtained. Even though the information sources are so easy to access, we need to build our own personal base of understanding. That used to live in most people's margins of their Bible. But we need to build our own resource. Of course, the information's out there, but we need to pick out what is important to us. And similarly, it will take time and effort to become familiar with Christadelphian writings and the Christadelphian viewpoint. And this is one of the troubles, isn't it, of the invisibility of the bookshelf. Christadelphian works are still there, but how does the next generation know which ones to access? Which ones are good? And what, say, a book like Phanerosis is actually about? Would they think to go there to look for this topic or for that? Not at all. They may not even know it exists if it's all just sitting on our memory sticks and it's not even a spine on a bookshelf. There's a role for the older generation before these things are present with everybody and yet known by nobody. I was going to say when I was young. That sounds terrible. But it was traditional that when a young brother particularly got baptized, that he was encouraged to put a certain amount of money each week aside that he might build his library. It was a thing to be done, to build your own library so that you had your own bookshelf of the right sorts of books. So these days we could decide that at the age of 13 or 15 or 18, we present all of our young people with the memory stick that has the library already on it. Much less expensive. But that's going to be of no value unless we also spend effort telling them what's in that library. And maybe that would be a good approach. You've got the library, now here's what's in it. I almost changed what I was going to talk about tonight in view of sort of what came through on the survey and what's come through in recent conversations with people in their early 20s. And my feeling, which is why I said I think we might be missing the mark, is that some of them are just completely not motivated to get looking. And it makes me wonder why, how are we failing to inspire our young with the core message of the gospel? And somehow its positive value somehow got wrapped up with too much other stuff so that it looks not appealing. Or are we not convincing in what we say the gospel is and what it means to us? How is it that coming to know God better through the Bible has been seen as something that they ought to do, as some sort of punishmently obligation type thing? Something we've got to look at, because if there's no motivation, then there's no point putting together all the best materials as to where you progress to from here if nobody wants to start the journey So, end of rant. So, here we go. Here's my thoughts so far. And as I say, this is one of three. But here's the structure. If we were to split down the skills of Bible skills, then I put it into these six categories. There's the things that people need to do to make a start. The Bible is not an easy book to begin with, and there's some tools that can help people begin. Then there are reading skills, making sense of the text. There are the collecting skills that we need to pull together our findings from different places and to build our resource. They're the texty bits. Then come skills in meditation, where we spend time to think about what we've known and to figure out what it means for us in our time. Then there are the skills of making that active in our life and the skills of sharing it in different ways with others. So a variety of different things. And because I think sometimes when we talk about Bible study skills, we might have perhaps what would fit under reading skills, the word studies and the analysis of text. And yet, as we think about our own Bible skills, we might find we're all very good at analysing text, but we're really hopeless at meditation or figuring out how to make it work. Sometimes we may be perfectly fine Bible students, but we've never found an outlet whereby we can share those skills with others. And so we wonder why we're doing it. So I'm not going to spend much time at all on any of these, but just to go through. So starting out, have you ever thought what it would be like to meet the Bible for the first time as an adult? Where would you begin? Why are there so many versions of this book? Should I start at the beginning and just plow my way through? What should I do? Should I first read about the Bible, or should I just start reading the Bible? So, there are the bits about starting out. Then there's the reading skills, that is, making sense of the text. And we'll look in more detail later, like next time, on the details of these. But from the text to an understanding of what the text is trying to say. Then how do we collect and collate? How do we build a resource for ourselves so that our understanding of scriptures grows? Sorry, I'm doing it again, aren't I? Please call me out when I forget to forward you through. How do we make a resource that grows and builds? It's interesting. I'll try and... A clear win for Google in terms of where you look up your phrases. Blue, red, yellow, green, from most likely to least likely. So we all of us don't think of phoning a friend to help us out when we're trying to look for a passage. Definitely agree on that one. Much more of us would reach for the phone and a Google search than would reach for our Strong's Concordance to help us out. This one here, it's going to be hard to see, perhaps easier at home. So again, blue is most of the time, or all of the time, red is most of the time, yellow is sometimes, and green at the far end is hardly ever. And in terms of those who answered the survey,
actually a reasonable amount still hanging on to their wide margin Bibles, a scattering of
people using digital devices, and interestingly,
a small but not zero number of people using them as their predominant
method of access to the Bible text. And yet, when we come to how do you take notes, it's interesting that we don't yet trust our digital devices with our notes. We're happy to use it to read,
but most of us do not use the digital sphere as their way to
preserve what they've learned.
You see the dip on the blue and the red at the digital end, compared to the more
even distribution across the other ones. For those few who have figured out ways of doing really good digital note-taking and confident storage, it's definitely something you should be talking to others about, because most of us are not yet confident that we can, what we used to entrust to our margins, can safely be stored on an app. So we're still learning to trust digital as a means of storing our things. Once we've collected, the need to meditate, to pull things together in your own mind, the quiet time to figure out what an understanding from Scripture actually means in life. Because the point and a valuable part of Bible skills is our skills of being able to action it. Your own life is the first place for scriptural ideas to be put into action. And then down towards the bottom of that list, by doing what you've learnt, will come new insights and new questions to stimulate the study cycle to repeat again. We study a topic for so long and yet don't put it into action, eventually we lose interest. But if we try things out that we've learnt, then we will quickly find that the cycle is refreshed and we've got new questions and new insights. I've put in there sharing skills. What I mean is passing what you've learnt on to others as part of the Bible study process. Because the gospel is about good news. That is, it's made to be shared. One of the things in the survey was maybe one of the challenges young people have is that they haven't been given opportunity to develop their skills. Which generally means that there hasn't been they haven't found a way to be able to share what they've learned. And those who manage to find an outlet for sharing what they've learned are more likely to be inspired to learn more. And again, that cycle can wrap around. When you share with others, you need to think about who you're sharing with. Then we're not going to spend time on this. What are you aiming to do with that sharing? Are you trying to persuade them or comfort them or challenge them or inspire them? And then you need to think about what is the best way to convey that message you want to share. And for me, this is the most interesting bit, and perhaps one of the keys to involving our younger people in Bible skills. There is a whole heap of different ways in which biblical insight can be shared with others. I have a feeling that in times past, sorry, Are we good?
Full size, man.
Better? Yep. There's a feeling that sometimes in times past, the only outlet for a Bible study has been a class, has been a talk. And yet the proportion of our community that are asked to do talks is a small proportion of the whole. And yet, I hope that as you look at perhaps that list, which is incomplete, but there are 1,000 different ways in which insights about Scripture can be shared with others. This is what I said before, that there are new platforms. And that actually most of these are open for anybody to get themselves involved in. It will be good if time comes when the platform that we've been used to hearing from is only a minor feature, because the whole community is engaged across the whole spectrum of expression. Just to pick an example of this, the most widespread of Robert Roberts's writings was not a book, but a habit in his Bible reading chart. It's not just talks. There's so many other things that can be being done. My mother-in-law has this last year heard so many new things about Scripture because someone shared a playlist with her. Was it Good Christadelphian Talks? Something like that. Yep. I've heard it mentioned from a number of people. Somebody just pressed go on what they thought was their favourites. And that's probably had far more impact, whatever click that was, than anything that's been said from 100 different platforms. My mother-in-law will say, I've heard this person and that person and that person this week, because I could put it on while I'm moving around and doing other things. So I hope as you look at that list, you might think, yes, I'm not up to maybe writing a whole book. But if I've discovered how to do something like what's my best method for taking notes on an iPad, then can I just put it up as a page of a how-to guide, share it with others? Meaningful conversation is one as well. That in this age where so many people are spending time just looking at screens, that actually just stopping people and having a good conversation with them may be the outlet you find to express the skills that you've learned. So here's sort of the wrap-up of the range of things that combine together to make a person who is skillful in the Word. And I think for each person, there's a different range of things where you might say, yeah, actually, I'm not too bad at reading and understanding Scripture, but actually it's the time spent in contemplation that I'm missing. You might say, actually, I'm really no good at extracting meaning out of text, but I can hear what someone else has said and I can put it out in an artwork that will inspire others. We all have strengths and weaknesses across that whole spectrum, and trying to learn and help others find find skills in areas they don't have is, I think, our challenge. When I said about sharing, I said the first thing we need to think about is, who are you sharing with? What are the needs of the person to whom you're sharing your thoughts about Scripture? We can't just write a course for a generic student, because there is not one generic student. There are different people with different needs across that whole range of skills. So here's where your little orange slip comes in. I want to introduce you to five people. They're not real people in the sense that, if any of you know people that are named by these names, I'm not thinking about them. But they are real situations. What I'm going to ask you to do is to take this with you for the next 4 weeks and choose one or at most two of these people to have in your mind as you go through the next 4 weeks. Think for yourself how you would encourage them to develop that range of Bible skills. You'll see a web address at the bottom of your little orange, and you can put in as many notes in there as you wish over the next 4 weeks. If you think about something, you think, oh, that would have been really useful. I'm thinking about Blake, and I've just been to the meeting and I thought, yeah, that presentation, Blake would have struggled with that, and here's what I thought about. Or, oh, I've just been to a website and I've seen a really good resource that Chandra I can make that work for her. I'll describe the people in a second. But I want to describe your task first. I want you to take one of these people hand in hand, as it were, or keep them in the forefront of your mind as you go through the next few weeks and think, what could I do to help them build their Bible skills? So here we are. Let me just pull up. Take notes if you want. Okay. So here's our first character. They're all 20 years old. Alexis, and this is on the website as well, so don't have to remember it all. But the first person I'd like to introduce you to is Alexis. You'll see that they're conveniently named for order. Alexis is a 20-year-old university student who has met a young person from your ecclesia and is genuinely curious about his religious beliefs and practices. Like a growing number of young Australians, she's grown up in a non-religious environment. Her sole interaction with religious things is what she's read from time to time on the ABC News website. She's keen to find out more, and she knows she's starting from scratch. How might we best start building her Bible skills? Someone is keen. Someone recognises they don't know where to start. What would you suggest that she does first? How would you begin? So that's Alexis. Or you could choose Blake. Because we want to build a community of people with Bible skills. Blake is 20 years old and has been lucky to have found an apprenticeship. He's had learning difficulties throughout his time at school, has had diagnoses of dyslexia and ADHD. He's been part of your ecclesial scene all his life, He's keen to build up his faith and to contribute in the community, but has always felt a bit inadequate. How might we best help him grow in his Bible skills without it being too text heavy? It's Blake. Third one, Chandra. Chandra is a 20-year-old mother of a toddler with another on the way, living in a rural town in West Bengal in India. Her interest in the Bible comes through her friend, who has lessons from a Christadelphian teacher who visits their town about once a month. She, like her peers, has only had a basic primary education. She can read her native Bengali, but only slowly. She speaks two other languages as well, but not English. Her husband is not interested in religion, but not opposed either. She has a Bible in Bengali, and a mobile phone with unlimited texts, but not much data. The Christadelphian teacher, who has moderate English, but is flat out with his current demands, has requested your advice to help Chandra and others like her progress in their Bible skills. Here's a different sort of challenge, isn't it? We've got a language divide, and an educational barrier. Fourth, Daniel. Daniel's 20. He's been part of your ecclesial scene all his life. He's been a diligent and active member in the Sunday school and the youth group and was baptized 2 years ago. In recent months, though, he's been reading more broadly than before, and has discovered that some of the doctrinal and practical spiritual issues that he thought were cut and dried and easy to prove are actually more nuanced than he previously realized. In online discussion groups, he's found other people with a very similar history to his, just from different religious groups. He's begun to wonder how much of what he thinks he knows is just because of the environment of his upbringing. He wants to dig deeper so that he can be independently confident that his beliefs are really his own. How might you help him? And finally, Emily. Emily's 20. She's been part of your ecclesial scene all her life, coming up through Sunday school and the youth group. You remember after one study week that she was quite enthusiastic for a while. Her close circle of friends were mostly the same people, both at school, at Heritage College, and ecclesially. But now, having finished school and headed in different ways for educational work, the group is not so close. She's active in fits and starts on a number of social media platforms, especially ones that relate to her craft interests. You notice that she's becoming less engaged ecclesially. How might you best help her, and how might Bible skills play a role in that help? So here we are. We've got five of to choose from. You can choose more than one to contribute on, but I think the value in this exercise would be to concentrate just on one. As I say, the website has a section where you can very quickly just put in a little note. So anytime that anything springs to mind, post away and I'll try and keep on top of it all. But I noticed as we talked about the challenges that people faced and about your suggestions as to what to do, is that actually it's really hard to give a general suggestion because different people have got different needs. And so I thought if we can nail it down to some very specific circumstance, maybe that will make it easier for us to think about these things. So, our next session is halfway through September. So if this can run till the end of August, so this is a month, and I would really like any of you that can to take this on as a challenge. Imagine this is a real person that you're trying to help. Have a look for them to find out the resources that are available. Or write down the resources that you're looking for and you can't find that would be useful to help them. As notes come in, I'm going to add them into the website so you can look for updates on your particular chosen person if we all get involved in doing so. Are there any questions about what the task is? Good. When I read through the different people, was there one that stuck in your mind as one that you think, yeah, that's the person that I'd really like to think about helping? And was there any of those cases, ones that you thought, I wouldn't know where to start? So you can decide for yourself whether you want to adopt A, B, C, D, or E, based on whether you think it's an easy job or one that you'd like to get involved in, or actually whether you think, actually it'd be good for me to think how I'd take on a challenge of something that I might not be immediately comfortable to do. So, the web address is up and active, so contributions can be taken at any stage. And what I'm hoping to do from this is to sort of recompile back together in order to create our list of 101 Bible skills. So think about the things that you're trying to encourage here, and I'm going to be trying to compile. I've already got my, not 101, but I've already got quite a few. But I'd be keen to see what your contributions come up with as well. Particularly when you think about the non-standard cases. How do we deal with them? So, that's all from me tonight. It's a pity that lockdown was last week rather than this week, because then you could have really had some time to do it. But I do hope you take up the challenge. And the reason I do so is because, as we said at the start, I think we're actually slowly falling off a cliff in terms of active involvement and engagement in the Bible. We've got so much distraction and there's so much new stuff coming at us all the time that it's really easy to get lost amongst it. But our survival as a community depends on us taking charge of the attention that we give to things. So, thank you, and we'll finish there.